Those who are joining us for the first time, last week we were learning the second parak of the Shaar Bitachon from the Chovas HaLevavos. And the Chovas HaLevavos introduced us to seven factors of what type of person one would rely upon. Someone who I would rely upon, I'd look for that person, or obviously in the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem meets all seven criteria. But I would look for seven factors for a person to be the type of person I could trust. What were some of those factors? Just to review very quickly. First of all, I need to believe that the person loves me very much. That the person is interested in me. That the person, second of all, pays attention to me. The person could love me, but they're not actively involved in my life. So I want someone who cares deeply about me. Someone who is constantly mindful of me. You could be a person who has beautiful intentions, but if you can't actually help me, so I'm not going to turn to you in a time of need. So number three, I want someone who's actually strong enough to provide me, who has the ability to get the job done, to make it happen. And I want someone who has my best interest in mind. That was number four. A person, or again in the parallel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being the only one to truly meet this final category, that it should be someone who understands the full context of my life from beginning to end. Someone who saw me when I was a baby, and someone who saw me as a young man, and someone who saw me as an adult, and someone who sees me as an old man. Someone who understands the full context of my life to be able to provide me with whatever is best for me, in the fullest sense of the word. Number six, someone who is hashishis. Someone who is fully invested in protecting me. And again, has the means to make sure that no bad befall me. And last but not least, which is somewhat similar to the first one, but someone who's willing to go all the way that their rachmanis and their chesed goes above and beyond really anything that I deserve. Okay, now continuing with that last theme, first the Chovas HaLevavos pointed out, there's no human being who meets really any of these categories, even one of these categories fully, and Hashem meets all seven categories fully, which we didn't really explain b'arichas last time, but there's what to think about there, how Hashem fully meets all seven factors, and no human being meets even one of them. But now, as we continue in the third parak, the Chovas HaLevavos says there are five hakdamos, and again, he's very methodical, breaks things down into categories. I'm only going to focus on one hakdama tonight, but he calls five hakdamos, five introductory categories, that will be an indicator whether or not I have full bitachon Hashem. That to have bitachon in Hashem, that my bitachon should be shalim, I need to know these five things very well. Okay, I'm going to mention four of them. We're going to focus on the fourth one. We're going to read only the fourth one inside and try to elaborate upon it. What are the five things you need to know very well? I'm not even going to tell you the fifth one. We'll save it maybe for next week. The first thing is that you have to believe that the seven factors we learned about last week apply to Hashem. Okay, so the seven things I just mentioned, that Hashem loves you, that Hashem is actively interested in your life, that Hashem knows what's best for you, that Hashem carries out whatever it is that He wants to do, that Hashem knows the full context of your life, that Hashem is unbelievably generous, that Hashem can protect you. The first thing I need to do is to believe those seven factors as being attributable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first thing. If I believe that Hashem actually has those seven things, that's the first step to believing fully in Hashem, to trusting fully in Hashem. Number two, I have to believe that Hashem knows, and this is very interesting, there's a lot to talk about here. I have to believe that Hashem knows to what degree I trust Him. Right? I have to believe that Hashem knows how strong my bitachon is, and that He's paying attention to that. That Hashem knows if I have a lot of bitachon in Him, and Hashem knows if I actually don't have a lot of bitachon in Him. Right? That's a very interesting thing to think about. That Hashem is fully aware of how much I really believe in Him. I can't trick Hashem. I can walk around saying, Baruch Hashem all day, but I have to know 100% that whatever I truly feel in my heart of hearts, Hashem knows what that is. And Hashem is fully aware to what degree I trust Him. Again, if I don't think Hashem is paying attention to that, or I don't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was fully mindful of that, so then it's going to mess up my ability to trust in Hashem. Number three, bitachon only works b'shleimus if I solely rely on Hashem to the exclusion of all others. Okay, and again, there's a lot to think about there. To what degree can I incorporate a little bit of trust in others into my overwhelming trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But number four is what we're going to talk about tonight, and it's a fascinating machlokas between the Chovas HaLevavos and the Ramban. And we'll try to connect it to Tisha B'Av as well. And that is the following scenario. Okay? Let's present it as a scenario. I titled the shiur, "There's No Atheist in a Foxhole." But the question is, when the atheist in the foxhole decides all of a sudden, "I believe in God," is it too little too late? Meaning you don't do mitzvos, you're not a person who has zechuyos, and now all of a sudden, in a moment of sheer terror, you decide, "I believe in God, and I trust fully in God." Does that work? Or does Hashem say, "That's very nice, I'm happy to see that you turn to me in your desperation, but there's a relationship here. And you don't keep Shabbos, you don't keep kosher, you don't keep taras mishpacha, and now all of a sudden, but I believe that God can save me." Does the Kodesh Baruch Hu care at that point? Or is that a slap in the face and it's a big joke and Hashem says, "That's not going to work"? Okay, so let's see this machlokas between the Chovos, the Lavavos, and the Ramban. I'll start again with just a story. Rav Chatzko Levenstein, the great Mashgiach from Panovich, once got into a taxi cab in Eretz Yisrael. And when the not-yet-religious taxi driver, this young Israeli taxi driver, realized who his distinguished guest was, it was an important rabbi, he understood who it was. So he says, "Rabbi, I've got a great story for you." And he tells Rav Chatzko the following story. He says, "Rabbi, when I finished my army service, myself and some of my friends, we decided to go exploring as many Israeli soldiers do." Yeah. They left Eretz Yisrael, they went to Africa. And they're touring around. They decided they were going on a safari adventure. Safari adventure. One day, one of the chevra wanders off. He's doing a little exploring on his own. They haven't seen him for a couple of minutes. A little time goes by. No one's particularly worried. All of a sudden, they hear this piercing scream. And his friends come running over, and they see that a boa constrictor is starting to wrap itself around their friend. So they pick up rocks, and they're throwing rocks at the boa constrictor, and it's wrapping itself around this poor friend. They're throwing sticks at it. They don't know what to do. No one wants to get anywhere near it. And this is it. Their friend is gasping for air. There's nothing to do. There's literally nothing to do. So all of a sudden, one of them, this whole chevra, is not particularly religious, one of them screams out to this fellow who's blue in the face, "Say Shema Yisrael, say Shema Yisrael." That much they know. So he screams out, "Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad." And he says, all of a sudden, the snake starts to unravel itself and it slithers away. Mamash, an open miracle. So Rav Chatzko says, "Well, that's an amazing story, you know?" So Rav Chatzko says, so what happened with your friend, you know? Like, well, where is he now? What's he up to in life? "Oh, Rabbi," he says to Rav Chatzko, "oh, he became very, very religious. After that, he became very religious. He keeps Shabbat, he puts on tefillin, he learns Torah, his wife, his children, his whole observant family now. He's a very, very religious man. Very, very, very religious." So Rav Chatzko said, "Nu, what about you?" He said, "The guy's not even wearing a yarmulke." He said, "What about you?" He says, "No, Rabbi," he says, the snake attacked my friend. "The snake attacked my friend. So why do I have to change?" And Rav Chatzko was very shaken by that. A person could see with their own eyes the type of thing that, you know, we hear these stories, but to hear a first-hand account from the great Mashgiach of Panovich, that he would tell over the story, that someone could see with their own eyes, Hashkachas HaBorei, to see the power of calling out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to watch his friend get it and transform his life, and to just say, "Well, but it wasn't me. It didn't actually affect me." But what's implied from this story is that a Jew who's not particularly religious, right, in a moment of desperation, turns to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, calls out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and is saved. So is that true? Does it work like that? Should we believe that, again, the atheist, so to speak, in the foxhole, who calls out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in desperation, and says, "Hashem, I believe in you, I believe in you, I believe in you, even though I don't actually do mitzvos, and maybe I don't intend to do mitzvos"? We'll have to see if that's an important piece in this puzzle. Will a Kadosh Baruch Hu come to a person's rescue? How far does that bitachon go to create a reality? So we'll begin with the Chavetz Chaim in source number one. The Chavetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Shem Olam. It's divided into sections. In the back, there's a kuntras called Nefutzos Yisrael, scattered of Israel. And the Chavetz Chaim writes at the end of the eighth parak, "Vida od, demidas habitachon ein toloi bezechusim." Chavetz Chaim puts his position out there pretty clearly, that bitachon does not depend upon one's merit. Bitachon and how many mitzvot you have in the bank are not connected to one another. Sha'afiluhu adam sheino hagun. Even if you're a person who, in terms of your general accounting, your Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur scales, you're not worthy. Ach shechizik bitachono ba'Hashem, koach ha'bitachon megin alav. But when a person turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in desperation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects him. The Bitachon protects him. U'mischased imo Hashem Yisparach. And Hashem performs acts of chesed for him. He beat the system. He doesn't have zchuyos. He doesn't have mitzvos. But right now he says, God, you're the only one who can save me. Well, yeah, you're right. And I'm going to show you that you're right. And Hashem comes to that individual's rescue. Kach chosef ha-gra, says the Chavetz Chaim, this is what I found in the writings of the Gra. Exactly where in the writings of the Gra is a good question. Udelo kechovas halavavos. That's what it says in brackets. Not like the opinion of the Sefer. We've been learning the chovas halavavos. Because I told you a moment ago, learning inside. Five steps to shleimus in bitachon. The chovas halavavos says, in order to be shalom in bitachon, bitachon has to be coupled with zechuyos, with mitzvos. You can't just have bitachon and not actually serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu day in and day out in terms of shmiras mitzvos. But the Chavetz Chaim says, I disagree, and I've heard it in the name of the Gra. V'shamati shachein isa b'medrash. I've heard that the Medrash says, an interpretation of the Pasuk, Rabim machovim l'rasha v'abotech b'Hashem chesed yisov avenu. The Rasha encounters all sorts of hardship for being a Rasha. However, habotech b'Hashem, but if he trusts in Hashem, then chesed yisov avenu, then he's surrounded by Hashem's kindness. It sounds like even though he's a Rasha, but if he trusts in Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect him. And furthermore, says the Chavetz Chaim, that's the simple pshat in the Pasuk, in the left-hand column. Pasuk in Tehillim, a parak later, parak Lamed Gimel. Ein Hashem el yireav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the eye of Hashem is upon those who fear Him. Lamiyachlim lechasto. And the Chavetz Chaim is medayik. It doesn't say that the eye of Hashem is upon yireav hamiyachlim lechasto. It's not that the person is God-fearing and he also turns to Hashem. It's two categories. A person who fears Hashem in general, and also lamiyachlim lechasto, to the one who says, God, I'm in trouble, I need your help. I know I don't deserve it, but I'm calling out to you in desperation. It says the pasuk, lahatzil mimavas nafshim ulechayosam barav, to save a person from death and to sustain a person in their hunger. Umidalok siv yireyav hamiyachlim lechasto, says the Chavetz Chaim, from the fact that it doesn't say God-fearing, who also puts their hope in you, mashma detrei milei nino. It sounds like it's two separate things. You could be a person who's not particularly God-fearing, in terms of, again, doing what God asks of you, but push comes to shove, I believe in God. When I'm in trouble, I turn to God. There's no atheist in a foxhole. I turn to God. I know you're the only one who could save me in my desperate moments. And because of that, Hashem says, you're right, I'm going to save you. Ad kan the words of the Chavetz Chaim. Now again, I've told you several times already tonight that that's really a big machlokas rishonim. So let's learn that machlokas rishonim inside. Writes the Chovas HaLevavos in the Shaar Bitachon. This is again Perek Gimel Hakdama Dalet in the four Hakdama, in the five Hakdamos to Bitachon B'Shleimos. Hakdama HaRevius Shetiyah Hashkachaso Chazaka V'Yishtadluso Gedola L'Kayim Mashachivu Bo Abar Me'Avodaso. A person needs to take very seriously the things that God expects of you. You can't just have bitachon. Part of bitachon working is that I wear my tefillin in the right spot, right? And I don't look at things God doesn't want Jews to look at. And I don't speak lashon hara. And I, if there's a questionably kosher product, so there's plenty of kosher products. So I get something that has a good hechsher. Right? That's all part of the package that I take seriously. That I'm mishtadel with great effort to do what's expected of me. V'lasos mitzvosav, and to do mitzvos. Ulizar me asher hiziru me anu, to do what God has commanded me. Not to laugh off the mitzvos and then to turn to Hashem in desperation. Kafi mashu mavakish, as is expected. Shiyahabore maskim lo b'mashu botech lovo. So that when you turn to Hashem and have bitachon on Hashem and say, God, I need help, God says, yeah, well, we're buddies. We have a relationship. You've worked for me for X amount of time, so now it's my turn to work for you. And Hashem wants to be able to give you good things. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, make His will your will. Do for God, so that God will do for you. It's interesting. So HaSemes has a pshat in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Schar mitzvah mitzvah, or also mitzvah goreres mitzvah. And those two statements are next to each other. The reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah, and mitzvah goreres mitzvah, one mitzvah leads to the next. Says the Sfas Emes, every mitzvah is a double mitzvah, and every avera is a double avera. Why? Because when you do a mitzvah, what is Hashem? Why is Hashem doubly happy? Hashem's happy on the simplest level because you listened. You're a good kid. You listen to your parent. But God likes rewarding you. So you made Hashem doubly happy. You listen to the tzivoy, and you put yourself in position to get a prize, and God likes giving out prizes. When you do an aver, Hashem is doubly disappointed. You know why? Because you didn't listen to Hashem, says the Sfas Emes, and Hashem has to punish you, and He doesn't like punishing you. But it's your fault that He has to punish you now because you failed to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem says, just if you do for me, then when you need me, I'll do for you. Asei ritzonu kiritzonecha, make His will your will, kedei sheyatzer ritzonu kiritzonu, and then He'll make your will His will. Says Pirkei Avos, batel ritzonu mepnei ritzonu, negate your desire in the face of His desire, kedei sheyavatzel ritzonacher mepnei ritzonecha. So that Hashem will cause people who have bad will towards you to not be able to get you. Hashem will protect you. Just like you did for Him, He'll do for you. And says the Pasuk, now this is one of the key lines for tonight, look carefully. V'amar HaKasu, the Pasuk in Tehillim Lamed Zayin, Bitach V'Hashem V'Asei Tov. Let's pay close attention. How is the Chovas HaLevavos reading this Pasuk? Bitach V'Hashem, trust in Hashem, and also do good things, do mitzvos. Shechan Eretz, dwell in the land, abide in the land, Ure'ei Amunah, and shepherd Amunah. Be a loyal person. Remain loyal. Va'amar, as it says in Eicha, Tov Hashem lekovav lenefesh tidrushenu. Good is the one who hopes in Hashem, but also seeks Hashem day in and day out. So according to the Chovas HaLevavos, if you want Bitachon to work for you, you've got to be on Hashem's team. You can't be someone who positions himself day in and day out against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then when you're really stuck, you come running, you come crying to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Aval mi sheyiftach in the second paragraph, alabore v'hu mamro, so... But if you claim, God, I have faith in you, I trust you, but I'm also at the very same moment rebelling against Him, Mamre, right? You're Zakin Mamre. You're rebelling against Hashem. Kamahu sachal, you're an idiot, says the Chovas HaLevavos. How foolish are you? It makes no sense. How could you say, Hashem, I trust you, but I don't actually listen to anything? Oh, no, God, you're the Creator, you're the only one who can save me, so why don't you ever do the mitzvot that I ask of you? V'kama daito chalusha v'karaso, how weak is your understanding? How poor is your awareness of God? Kihu roe, because you know full well from your you know, quote unquote, your real life, your olam hazeh life. Kimishin esmano lo b'bnei adam al davar. Let's say your boss asks you to do something, right? You're assigned a task. Kishu metzavo so las asik b'tzorach mitzorachav. You're requested from your boss to perform a particular activity. Omazir oso b'davar. The boss says, you know, don't you ever do this company policy? You're not allowed to do this. V'yavur al mitzvosav. And you get busted. You get caught. The boss knows that you haven't been carrying out your task. You've been violating company policy. V'yagia l'mamana avro al mitzvosav. And word gets back to the one who commanded you that you're a bad employee. Ki yahasiba hachazaka l'himana mimena ha'asos masha batachalabo. So is there any greater reason for the boss, when you come to the boss and say, listen, you know, I could really use a raise. The boss laughs in your face. What are you talking about? A raise? You're going to be fired next month. Right, what are you coming to me out of desperation? You need extra? You need more help? Your track record shows you're totally unworthy. It's a chutzpah. Now you come in here and you're asking, now you're relying upon me. You know, I've worked for this company for a long time. You've stolen from this company for a long time. What are you talking about? Why would I help you? Why should I come to the rescue now? So all the more so, you slap Kutcher Bricha in the face, day in and day out, with your lack of mitzvos, and your repeated averos, and then you come crying to Hashem, I need your help. Hashem has been very clear in spelling out the rules. There's something called Schar and Onesh. So don't come crying now. That your entire bitachon is what? Kosev, is falsified. It's a forgery. You can walk around saying Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, trying to win favor with Hashem, but your track record shows just the opposite. Your rebellion testifies the opposite. And that's not called bitachon, period. It's not that, well, you have bitachon, but God is rejecting your bitachon. We can't call that bitachon, says the Chovas. That's not called boteach belokim. Achu kamo sha'amar akasiv, two lines from the bottom. Kima tikvas chonev ki yivtza. What good is the rebellious one, right, when he's thrown down? Ki yeshel elokad nafsham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away his soul. You're a rebel. You're a phony. Hashem takes away your hope because you don't deserve to have that hope. Hatzaka so Yishmakel, do you really think God should listen to you? Va'amar, and concludes the Chovas Levavos as we turn the page, Haganov, the thief, Ratzoach, and those who murder, Vina'of, and those who are involved in immoral, adulterous behavior, V'hishaveya, turn to the top of page 2, Lasheker, and a person who swears falsely, says the Navi Yirmia, Uvasem v'matem lefanai b'bayis hazeh asher nikra shmiya lav. And then this person comes running to the Beis HaMikdash, thinking that Hashem is going to bail them out. The next words in the pasuk are, V'amartem nitzalnu. This murderer, this thief, this adulterer comes running to the Beis HaMikdash. He walks in, he says, ah, we're saved, we're safe here. Hashem says, what are you talking about? You're not safe here at all. Look at this line, such a strong line. The next pasuk. V'amar says, Yirmiyahu, Hama'aras paritzim haya habayis hazeh? Are you going to turn my bayis, my Beis HaMikdash, into a ma'ara, into a cave, into a den, for pritzim, for thieves, for rebels? You think this is like a hangout, you know, for the bad dudes? This is not your place, right? This is not one of your clubs. This is not one of your gathering places. The place asher nikra shemi alav, the place where my name is found, chutzpah that you even show up here. Hashem throws you out of the house. So there are many sources, says the Chovas Levavos, and again, as he often does, he proves with his psukim that it's ridiculous for a person to say, I have bitachon of Hashem, while at the same time, I don't do Torah, I don't do mitzvos, I do averos. Hashem laughs in your face. The same way that a boss of flesh and blood would laugh in your face. That's the approach of the Chovas Levavos. Yeah.
Is he only speaking about someone who's maze it all the time and doesn't care? Or is he,
right, so that's really going to be the punchline of this year. We're going to have to see how much a person is willing to change. Right? And that's why I started with the story of the Israeli soldier wrapped up in a snake and his willingness to change, and maybe that's why Hashem saved him. Right? Because he wasn't going to call out to Hashem, cash in on Hashem's salvation, and then go back to his averus. Why his friend was not so willing to change his human nature. You know, it happened to someone else. So when it happens to me, then I'll deal with it. Okay. All right, but we'll have to see. There may be a chiluk between the repeat offender versus the person who you know, for whatever reason, didn't have a Torah education, and that's why he never did mitzvahs. And now all of a sudden, the Pintel Yid comes flaring up in a moment of desperation, and Hashem helps him because that's, you know, hoping to jumpstart the car and get him going in Torah mitzvahs. So that may be a very important point.
It's a difficult balance, though.
Yeah, let's hear.
You know, you have the view of Hashem as our Father, and Hashem is always loves us. You know, fathers love children, even when children don't listen. That's right.
So the first thing I said when I read the Mashal of the Chovas Levavos is it's just not comparable, right? The boss who's going to fire his employee is not the same as Hashem who's going to find a way to bail out his son.
Right. Even if someone is amazing, even if someone, you know, says, I'm not interested in listening, he's still a child.
Right. You know, okay, so we have to see if that's true. Are we always children of Hashem? Have to see. That's this week's Haftorah. Mamash and Yana Diyoma. Okay, so that's the opinion of the Chovas Levavos. There's an interesting Maimer Chazal in Brachos. It would have been printed in Brachos Daf Samach Gimel. I say it would have been printed because in our standard edition of the Gemara, it doesn't appear. It's found in the Ein Yaakov, which is the collection of Agadata, the Agadic sections. And the reason it appears there in the Ein Yaakov on Brachos is because in manuscripts of the Gemara Brachos, like the Ksav Yad from Frankfurt, this line does appear. So it really is a Maimer Chazal, and it can be called, and you'll often see it quoted as a Gemara in Brachos, okay, even on Daf Samach Gimel of Aleph, because that's where it would appear. And it may or may not appear in our Gemaras. Okay, but here's the Maimer Chazal. And tell me if you want to learn it cynically or if you want to learn it as a beautiful, positive statement. I believe it's Rav Papa who said, Hainu da'amri inchi, it's like the famous, you know, folk saying. Now, you don't have it on the page in front of you, I just wrote it down. Ganva apum machtarta rachmana kari. Ganva apum machtarta, the ganav, the thief, at the entrance to the tunnel, rachmana kari, calls out to God. The robber, as he's about to tunnel into your house, not your house, Chas V'Shalom, into someone's house, right? As he's about to rob the bank, he says, God, help me to be successful in my bank robbery. Now, that's an absurd statement. Right? God, help me to be successful in what? In violating your will and being a thief and living a sinful life? What am I crying out to Hashem? But it's true. Right? That the Ganav, even as he's carrying out his evil mission, he prays to whatever higher being he believes in that he should have success in his evil mission. So how do you understand that? Is that a good thing? Is that a positive Maamar Chazal? Rav Kook in the Ein Hayah on Brachos understands it very positively. Rav Kook sees it as, yeah, that's the innermost dimension of a person coming out, even at the moment of sin. And Rav Kook, in Rav Kook's style language, Rav Kook says that there's a certain immutable part of a person, namely his connection to Hashem. And Dafka, it's a beautiful thing in a certain sense to see that even at the moment that he's doing the Aveira, right, which is so much against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but there's a part of him that's just it can't disconnect from Hashem. And that's great. That's great. That's the essence of who he is. That's the core of the person, and it can't be undone even in the moment of sin. Maybe that's one way to understand Chazal. That's one way to understand Chazal. However, they also tell a story, a Hasidic folk tale, right, that there's a person who's sitting and he's writing his magnum opus. He's writing a halachic work. And what's he writing about in this halachic work, bringing sources in halacha and agada? He's trying to prove, and he's writing with great proficiency about the importance of giving tzedakah. And he's collecting all the sources on the importance of giving tzedakah, and he's arguing, you know, why it's so important. And those of us who had the chance to hear our friend speak last night, our friend spoke about how giving tzedakah is even greater in a certain sense than building the Beis HaMikdash. And he's writing, he's gathering all of the sources in Machshava and Lamdas. He's putting together this magnum opus on the Cheshivas of tzedakah. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and there's an Ani who's looking for a couple of bucks. Right? And he says to this fellow, he says, "Can you leave me alone? I'm trying to write my sefer over here. Why are you bothering? Why are you disturbing? Don't you realize I'm writing the greatest sefer ever on the importance of giving tzedakah?" Right? Now, obviously, we would not want to own such a sefer because we would say such a person is unworthy of writing such a sefer. And the Chavetz Chaim wrote the sefer Chavetz Chaim and Shmiras HaLashon, and he was shopping it around. So one of the people he took it to for Askama spent the afternoon trying to see if he could get the Chavetz Chaim to speak Lashon Hara. And when he couldn't, when he realized the Chavetz Chaim was the real deal, so he gave him Askama for the sefer. A person who is writing a sefer on a topic and doesn't live that topic, we would laugh in their face. So that story is told by some Sefer Chassidus to point out the ridiculousness of this Maamar Chazal. The Ganav, Apum Machtarta, as he's tunneling into someone's house, pretending that what, that God doesn't see him? As he's talking to God, what a fool. And that's what the Chovas Levavos wrote. Kama Sachal, how foolish is the person who has Bitachon El Hashem when their whole life is the very opposite of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of him. Okay? That's the approach of the Chovas Levavos. And again, you can learn that Maamar Chazal is more positively or more negatively. However, right, as Moshe pointed out, you have to think that Hashem maybe operates differently. And again, that Jew cried out Shema Yisrael and the snake unraveled itself, I guess, is at least one example in history. I'm not saying it always works out that way. Nothing we've learned is all. We don't understand the full calculation of how Hashem chooses to make his final psak on any matter. Right? But the Ramban wrote a sefer, a kuntras, called Ha'amunah V'Bitachon. And in the first parak, the Ramban disagrees with the Chovas Levavos. Again, the Chavetz Chaim told us the Vilna Gaon has this opinion. There are places where we could identify. We're not going to go into that right now. But already a Rishon, the Ramban, says not like the Chovas Levavos. And the Ramban, what's so fascinating to me, brings the same pasuk as the Chovas Levavos. That's what's amazing. What the Chovas Levavos brought as his proof text, that you need to do mitzvahs and believe in God, the Ramban says, no, either or. What was the pasuk? Ramban quotes it in source number 3. Bitach ba'Hashem va'aseh tov. So how did the Chovas Halavavos learn it? Bitach ba'Hashem va'aseh tov. Bitach ba'Hashem, trust in Hashem va'aseh tov. And make sure you have the mitzvahs also to back it up. The Ramban learns it, no, two things. There's bitach ba'Hashem, that's one good thing to do. And aseh tov, doing mitzvahs, is also good to do. Obviously, it's optimal to do both, but either or will get you somewhere in life. Says the Ramban, Klomar, Afal pi she'ein biyadcha maisim, v'teida ba'atmacha sha'ata rasha. Very strong words. Even if you have no maisim tovim, you don't have the mitzvahs to back it up. And you know full well that you're a rasha, totally unworthy. Im kol zeh b'tach ba'Hashem. Trust in Hashem even if you don't have the mitzvahs yet. Ki hu ba'al rachamim v'rachim alecha. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is merciful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always have mercy on his child, on us. Kamo Shenemar V'rachamav Al Kol Ma'asav, like we say every day in Ashrei. Tov Hashem Lakol. Hashem is good to all. V'rachamav Al Kol Ma'asav. And Hashem takes care of all creatures. Ratzalomer Tzadikim V'rasham. Good Jews and bad Jews. Good people and bad people. V'amru B'shasha Ben Adam Mitztar. And when a Jew is in pain and cries out, well, guess what? It shakes Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. Something to think about going into Tisha B'Av, where a good chunk of the day is us blaming ourselves for how we mess things up. But we also have to remind ourselves that if we feel the pain, right, not only part of the Avodah of the day is feeling Hashem's pain, it's a separate point, but even just feeling our own pain, of feeling our own disappointment, right, Hashem feels bad for us. And that moves things forward. When a Jew is in pain, Ben Adam Mitztar, Shechina Ma'amaris, what does the Shechina say? When a person's in pain, Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrawi, Hashem Kivyachal says, my head hurts, my arm hurts. That's a reference to Tefillin Shal Rosh, Shal Yad, not for now, also a big part of these days. Tefillin, if you think about it, just tell you quickly, right, without even elaborating on it. But tefillin, if you just look at the tefillin looks like a little miniature base of Mikdash. If you never thought of your tefillin that way, you can start tomorrow. Tefillin looks like a little, it looks like a little temple that we wear on our body. Ever think about that? It's an amazing thing. There's a lot of connections. That's part of the reason we don't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av, at least for part of the day. Because part of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the tefillin is our miniature Beis HaMikdash. Al-Kain Amr B'Tchila B'Tach B'Hashem. So says the Ramban, B'Tach B'Hashem, trust in Hashem. Klomar, Bein Shetia Tzadik, Bein Shetia Rasha, B'Tach B'Hashem. And also, by the way, Achar Kach V'Asei Tov, and then try to do good things also. But don't think that if I don't have mitzvahs to back it up, my bitachon is worthless. Klomer. Aval pishu rachum v'chanun. Right? So again, if I ask myself, well, if I can just trust God, why do I need to do mitzvahs? So David HaMelech reminds us, asei tov. Don't be such a wise guy. Right? Hashem is very nice to you, but don't take advantage. Asei tov. Try to do good things. Even though Hashem is rachum v'chanun, don't allow your Yetzirah to convince you that Hashem is going to let everything slide. It's not hefker. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to collect that which is his, says the Ramban. So there is, yes, there's still schar va'onesh, but at the same time, if a child cries out to a parent, even if it's a bad child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come to the rescue. This is the opinion of the Ramban. Is there a middle ground between the Chovos HaLavavos? So Josh said it earlier, right? And many of us are intuiting it. And that is what Rav Asher Weiss writes, not going to read it inside for the sake of time, but Rav Asher Weiss writes in his newly printed Sefer on Emunah Bitachon, that it could be that the middle ground between the Ramban and the Chovos HaLavavos is, again, to what degree am I going to be a repeat offender versus to what degree am I willing to change? The Chovos HaLavavos is correct that if I'm going to keep slapping Hashem in the face and keep asking for Hashem to bail me out, and Hashem bails me out and I continue to be unchanged, then at some point Hashem's going to say, you're taking advantage, and that's not right. And the Ramban also says, don't take advantage. What does the Ramban mean when he says that the Jew who doesn't have mitzvos and ma'asim tovim, the Rasha, is going to be saved? That's the Jew who occasionally calls out to Hashem, but is willing to better himself. Right? And that I think is again, we can't really paskin on these matters. And Rav Asher Weiss himself is not writing in a definitive psak halacha, but I think it's a reasonable, so to speak, psak to this topic. That on the one hand, the Jew has to try to constantly better himself and realize the ridiculousness of asking Hashem for help when I'm not a person who's connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in terms of my shmiras and mitzvos. But on the other hand, there are desperate moments in our life where who am I going to turn to if not for Hashem? Like I told you, the mice of the Rebbe of Chernobyl who's davening, begging a Kadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem should put into the heart of the cleaning help who just quit on his wife that she should come back and work for his wife. And when the chassid said to Rebbe, this is what you're pouring your heart out over, he said, who am I going to talk to if not Hashem? Right? To believe that if I have a problem, big or small, perceived as big or small, I turn to Hashem. And I don't convince myself I'm unworthy of Hashem's rachmanis. I try to better myself, like the Ramban also says in the last line. I don't take advantage, because it's ridiculous, like the Chovos HaLavavos said. But I also believe that Hashem is going to try to help me in my desperate moments, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is an av harachman. And that's certainly the right way to end tonight's shir. To talk about how Chodesh Av is a time where the Av HaRachaman is not trying to beat us up during these days, but it's not by chance that we call these days Av. Because more than ever, we need to remind ourselves when we're under the gun, when we feel the Midas Hadin of these days, that Avinu Shva Shemayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us and is interested in us and He still loves us and He has a relationship with us. And in that regard, we'll learn the final source, the Amunas Itecha of Moshe Wolfson in this week's Parsha. Rav Wolfson, in beautiful, beautiful words, Rav Wolfson Shlita, the Rav of Amunas Yisrael in Borough Park, Mashkiach for many years in Torah Vadas. Rav Wolfson gives us his definitive take on a conversation that many have been having, based on a series of articles in Mishpacha magazine. Rav Moshe Weinberger has been giving a number of shiurim on. Right, to what degree does the Kadosh Baruch Hu love us? At what point does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say, you know, Ad Kan? And the answer, I think, and the answer we're going to read right now, is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael is unbreakable. And even in the Tisha B'Av moments of our life, or maybe Dafka in the Tisha B'Av moments of our life, a Jew has to remind himself of how far Kadosh Baruch Hu's love goes for us. And that's what we find in this week's Parsha and in this week's Haftar. Let's take a look inside. The final source. B'Shabizu Shekodim Tisha B'Av. Tzrichim Letakin Chet HaMeraglim. We continue to try to fix the Chet HaMeraglim, which of course is so deeply connected. The crying of the Meraglim and the crying of Klal Yisrael upon hearing the reports of the Meraglim and why Hashem created the Tisha B'Av to begin with. It says Rav Wolfson, Uparsha Shal Shabbos Zu Nimsar Prat Nosaf Be'inyan Meraglim Mashalo Huzker B'Parsha Shlach. In this week's Parsha, as we recount the story of the Meraglim, we find out something about the story of the Meraglim that we didn't know in Parsha Shlach. Hashem hid it for Parshas Devarim. You know why? Because Hashem wants us to read this line in Torah and the Rashi that accompanies it right before Tisha B'Av. What does it say about how the Jews felt upon hearing the reports of the spies? Vateiragnu ba'aleichem v'tomru b'sinas Hashem osanu. The Jews were gossiping in their tents and they were saying, Hashem hates us, that's why he's taking us to Eretz Yisrael. Looking back now, we say, what an absurd thing to say. God hates us, so he's taking us to Eretz Yisrael. But they were scared. And they slandered God, and they said, Hashem hates us. And Rashi, as clear as can be, writes, V'hu haya oev eschem. But they were wrong. The Jews were wrong. That was their terrible mistake. God loved them. It was the Jews who had an issue with God. And as people sometimes do, when you're mad at someone else, you say, oh, that person's mad at me. You're just reflecting your feelings on them. It's a very deeply psychological Rashi. When you're upset at someone else, when you hate someone else, you say, they hate me. Right? It's a defense mechanism as a way of protecting oneself. But the truth of the matter, says Rashi, is Hashem loved them. And that's why Hashem wants them to come to the chosen land, the chosen people in the chosen land. V'tzrichim l'kvo b'leiv inyan shala'av a'rab asher avtanu. We need to take to heart, says Rav Wolfson, with the greatest clarity, the love that Hashem has for us. V'leidu l'hamin shekol ha'ma'oros afilu ha'bilti tovos. Even the worst Tisha B'Av moments of our life, b'fradu v'chlal. Kulam hema rachim v'chasadim gedolim. V'akol letovas u'letikun am Yisrael. It's all to fix us, it's all to get us to where we need to be. It's all part of the father who's sometimes being tough with this child to help the child improve himself. V'chol masha'era b'chodesh av. And everything that happened in this dark month, and certainly history tells the tale. Hakol machmas rachim av albanim. You have to call the month av. You have to remind yourself, av. Right? It's a contradiction. It's midas hadin. Why are we calling it av? Because it's a din that's rooted in a chesed. Kedi Isa, as the Gemara says, again, as we paskin in halacha, the Gemara in Kedushin, Sha'afilu kesha'ovdim avoda zara, gam kein nikram banim, even when we rebel against Hashem to such a degree that we're ovdei avoda zara, we're still called the children of Hashem. Shenemar, this Shabbos is haftorah, banim mashchisim. Rebellious, destructive children, but we're still called children. A child is a child. You can't divorce your children. V'chiteima banim mashchisim hu demikri. And if you'll say, well, we're called bad kids, and that's not really a very loving expression. But we're not called good kids. Tashma, come and listen to a pasuk in Hosea. V'haya b'mekom asher ye'amer lahem lo amiatem ye'amer lahem b'nei kelchai. The people who once thought were not even worthy of being called his people, a nation of a king, were actually called the children of the living God. So we should never discredit ourselves. All the more so in the Achris Hayam. Concludes our v'icha. Kishashiflus misgaber, when we're living in dark times, and it's easy for us to be disappointed in ourselves, rightfully so. We haven't done what we need to do to bring the gula. And that is upsetting. And we have rebelled against Hashem in ways we're embarrassed to even share with one another. That's painful. Tzrichim l'schazik ba'avas Hashem osanu. We need to mechazik ourselves, that Hashem's love knows no bounds. V'lachein pasach ha'achron shebenevi'im. How does the last Navi sign off when God stops talking to us as we enter Galus? We're not going to hear from God for a long time. Says the Navi Malachi, He says so clear to the Dora Achron, he's speaking to us, Ahavti Aschem Amar Hashem. I love you, so says God. And if anyone tells you otherwise, go read the Navi Malachi and remind yourself, I said, God said, Amar Hashem, I said. Afilu Kishetomru, Ma'av Tanu, as the pasuk continues there in Malachi. We say back to Hashem, why? Why do you love us? Why do you love us so much? And Hashem said, it's the love of a parent for a child. It goes beyond explanation. Ve'ein atem yodim l'man, you don't understand it at all. You can't understand it. And therefore, in this Shabbos is Haftorah, and try to live it this Shabbos. When you hear this word in the Haftorah, try to live it. Concludes Rav Wolfson. In this week's Haftorah, when Yeshaya Navi is rebuking Klal Yisrael, rebuking the Jewish people, how does he begin his Nevuah? What does he say? Shimu Shemayim, Vazini Eretz, Kipi Hashem Diber, God is about to speak. What's the first word that the Navi says? Banim. Banim Gidalti V'chulu. Banim. Period. The first thing you need to know, as Hashem says, as you're preparing yourself, as we're in the depths of the moments before Tisha B'Av, begging that maybe it'll be different this year, but frightful that it won't be, Afilu Kishem Pashubi Mikol Makum Banim. And therefore, what a fitting topic for us to, again, to think about. Let's not be banim mashchisim. We don't have to be labeled banim mashchisim. We can be called b'nei ke'achai. We can be the good Jews who have amuna and bitachon in the Kadosh Baruch. Banim is gematria. Banim is gematria amuna. Banim is gematria amuna. To try to be Jews who have a proper amuna and bitachon and also do Torah and do mitzvos and are cautious when it comes to avers. Not to take advantage. Like the Chovas Levava said, it's absurd to take advantage. But to also believe, like the Ramban said, that even when we've strayed and we feel unworthy, to remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us knows no limits. And therefore, B'tach B'Hashem, as the Ramban learned it, V'aseto, two tracks. Or again, as the Chavetz Chaim started us off tonight, again, Rabbe Machovim L'Rasha, but also, Avoteach B'Hashem, Chesed Yisov Avenu. So Mirtz Hashem, we should be zochet to feel that love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us during these days. We should respond to the kindness, not wait till that snake wraps itself around us. Nachash is gematria Mashiach. We should turn the Nachash into Mashiach. And Amir Tashem, each and every one of us should have that proper bitachon of Hashem, along with the Shmira Semitzos. We'll be zochet to see the Gula this year. Thank you again to Yitzchak. We'll now marv and I will bench, I guess. For those who want to continue eating can answer benching and continue. No. And then, you're allowed to drink wine. Yeah. I'm just saying we're allowed to...